Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 36. It's been 2 weeks since you have heard from us, and a lot has gone on. We've got epoxy signs, we got a truck on the road, and a skid steer trapped in the mud.
How you
let's,
got it stuck?
Let's do this. I mean, I got it unstuck and stuck like 10
good.
Times.
Yeah.
It's hysterical. Anyway, let's start with you, Paul. You look the most tired. So
yeah,
how's it going?
I've been very busy, but it's going well. I finally got the truck pretty much finished. I still got to do all the registration and the DOT stuff. I have a temporary registration right now. But the bed's done. All the boxes are on it.
Nice.
The welder's on it. It's painted. The lights are installed, which I had a little bit of a challenge, but Lucas called me up and FaceTimed me and explained everything to me, and we got that straightened out. Everything
there
looks good.
Go.
Everything works. So I'm super happy with it. I came out exactly the way I had envisioned it.
Nice.
And I think it's going to be now I'm done. Like, now I have a fully operational truck. I'm still going to add a couple, like, I think I might add another box underneath the bed. And then some reels, some hose reels and some lead reels. But other than that, it's pretty much finished. So
I feel like there'll be things that you like make changes to once you start to, you know.
Yeah,
it looks fantastic though. Yeah,
thank you guys.
How much did the bed wind up weighing? I keep like going back to thinking about that.
It was 3,500 pounds.
Okay,
it's not terrible for something that holds 11,000. It's funny because the boat guys next door, the guy who does their shipping, like came over. He's got a really nice GMC dually. And he was telling me that with 5,500s, because he knows, like, he transports boats, and he was saying that, like, down in Florida, you're not supposed to do this, but guys were transporting 50,000 pounds, towing 50,000-pound loads with Dodge 5,500s, because the boats were 40,000 pounds, and he said the trailers were, like, 15,000 pounds or something.
Holy shit.
Which is insane, which is, like,
with
what you'd
gooseneck,
use
a gooseneck, I guess, right?
Like a fifth-wheeler gooseneck.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to be doing that, but he's, like, people have done it. And you put, like, airbags in the truck, which I'm going to do. I'll put an airbag system in this thing.
Nice.
And I have a feeling it could probably hold a lot more if they're doing shit like that. Like, that's insane. Like, that's something you'd use a semi for.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these things are pretty solid, like, when you look at the way these trucks are built. Like, just the leaf springs and the axles and the differentials are, like, the size of, like, a beach ball. Like the it's huge. Like, everything's so heavy duty, but it's super nice. Got it all
That's
undercoated
amazing.
With that stuff. That stuff's crazy. You don't have your van undercoated, do you?
No, you didn't do it. You brought it somewhere.
I did.
Right?
I brought it to a place. I don't have the stuff to do it. It's like oil. I was telling Derek about it. It's like a clear oil, and it stays kind of like it never dries completely.
It's just
it
like
always
tar.
Stays
they just
sticky.
Sprayed tar on
it's,
the bottom
it's
of the
literally,
van.
Literally, that's
truck.
What it, that's what it's going to look like. It's going to look like tar almost because when everything sticks to it, like it's for commercial vehicles. You know, for I don't know if it's something you'd want to put like on a nice car, but it stops the frame from rusting like completely. It just protects everything. It's covered in like an oil.
That's
it's pretty interesting. Yeah, and it even has a slight smell to it. It's not like a bad smell, but the guy said it's to prevent like rodents from eating the wires and stuff. It's pretty cool. And they're able to get into all these crevices because the gun that they use, you put these long tips on it. You could put like a 2-foot extension, and at the end of the tip, it'll spray like a fan in like 365 degrees. So they even stuck it like in the rockers and you know, in parts of the cab. And there's holes in there purposely. And I think there's someone was telling me that there's actually holes in the bottom of the rockers that you're supposed to like make sure they're not clogged because water will sit in them. They're like drainage holes. But they went all in there and sprayed all inside there with this oil stuff. So hopefully nothing starts to rot out anytime soon.
Nice. That's nice. Yeah, there's I saw something on Eastwood when I had that Ford, one of the Ford pickup trucks I had needed like a lot of rot like restoration, and I had talked to Eastwood and they sell like spray cans that you can line the inside of your frame with like a long tube and you stick it down into like the door panel and all that
Same
and you're supposed to like restore it. That's awesome though, because I saw an Instagram video of you with the Tyvek suit on and I thought maybe you were doing some of the something. It looked like you were doing something. What were you
I
just
was painting
spraying?
It I was painting it, yeah.
He was going out to dinner with his mother.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, he was just going home to eat dinner.
Yeah, that's what I have to wear when I come home in my dirty work clothes. I put that suit on.
Oh, my God.
So I'm sterile.
Oh, my God.
It looks great.
It looks amazing, dude. It's going to turn some real heads when you're driving around.
The thing, I would wait. If you're going to mount boxes under, I've seen so many trucks with those fucking things ripped off and smashed. And just like New England, it's just hard with the snow and stuff like that.
Mm.
When you park and stuff like that, that's in work. It happens all the time. Like just people ripping them off and shit like that. But
yeah,
I mean, you'll be more careful than guys I work with. But it just
The pizza place truck doesn't get the same care that the Pinto Steelworks truck gets. You know?
Yeah. But the thing is, the box I mounted for my oxyacetylene tank already sticks down 18 inches, and I did did it on purpose because the boxes I have now are 2x2x5, which are like huge boxes. Like 2x2 is pretty big, but then underneath that would be too big; it would stick down too low. So I figured I'd put an 18x18x5, and it'll line right up with the one above it, and then with the oxyacetylene box that's flipped on its side. So I think I'm going to have to do that just cause it's already filled up with stuff. And that'll be for stuff that's like not as important, you know, like maybe like jumper cables or like, you know, the stuff I use for grout straps, you know, rougher stuff I'll keep down there. But I don't want to put anything else up on top of the bed cause I like having that big open section in the back.
Yeah.
It's like an 8 foot
by 8 foot.
How big
is it clear open? Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Or it's like 8 foot by 7.5, maybe.
Nice.
It's big, you know? So, and I have the D-rings on the side. Originally, I was going to put boxes up there, but I'm like, why would I just eat up all that space when I could just put a couple underneath, maybe?
That was kind of what I thought. Like, I love the Essential Craftsman's truck.
Yeah,
but there's not a lot of room to, like, add anything else. That's always, like, that always bugged me about, like, a lot of, like, any setup where it's so purpose built, you can't bring like an extra anything because you're never going to have every single thing. Like, there's always going
to
be like, oh shit, like, oh, we got to bring like a couple shovels to this job because we might have to like, and then it's like, oh, there's no room in the truck for the shovels, you know, like there's all we have is the room for the tools that we have, you know? But the truck, it really does look awesome. How does it drive now that you have all that weight on it? Because you were saying
much
it was
better.
Real bouncy. Yeah.
Much better, yeah. Yeah, it's smooth now. I'm actually shocked how smooth it is because before it was, like, rough. I mean, it was crazy. I was jumping up out of the seat. But now it's good. It rides nice now. And then with the airbags, it'll be even better, I think, when I put those on there. I got to have Louie come put those on with me because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But...
You could put it on like you know, like Crenshaw style airbags where it like bounces up and down.
Oh, that's
you know?
Yeah.
And like
low
you could,
rider
like,
or something.
You could make it so that it like drops all the way to the floor, like those like Volkswagen people. You know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Three wheels around the corner.
I think I need
that's right.
15,000 pounds to get the back end of that thing to drop because it's still it's still the back end's still up. You know, like, oh, have you ever seen, I've been watching a lot of Whistling Diesel lately.
Oh my God. He's been going off lately. He's been real popular lately.
He's been going crazy. But have you ever seen those trucks? The things people do to trucks blows my mind, but it's called the Carolina Squat or something. Look it up.
I'm looking it up right now.
You know how, like, normally you'd want, because trucks from the factory come where the front end is lower than the back, so you could put weight in the back.
And you put
leveling kits on trucks to make them level. These idiots drop the back end and have the truck with the nose of the truck way up in the air and the bed, like, dragging on the ground. They only do it in, like, North Carolina. It's got to be one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life.
This is so stupid looking. Yeah, it looks so like dumb. Somebody who's towing a 55,000-pound boat with exactly. their truck that's too yeah. small.
With an F-150.
Dude, you know what's so funny? You want to talk about the Carolina Squat. I took a picture specifically so I could show you guys today. I was driving home on the Cross Bronx, not the Cross Bronx, the Belt Parkway on Long Island, and I see this piece of shit looking truck filled with car parts. Look at this.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Broken down on the side of the road. I'll post this on the Handmade Instagram.
Wow.
So it's like a... He's doing the
Carolina Squat.
Yeah, he's doing the Carolina Squat. Look at this thing. And he was trying... So the truck was full of scrap metal, and he got a flat, and then he was trying to jack the truck up from the rear diff to fix the flat. And all I could imagine was, this is how someone gets crushed to death. Because he's probably got, like, a 2-ton jack, you know? And that truck's probably got 3,000 pounds of shit in the back. Like, oh, my God. What a way to die.
I'm so aggravated with drivers, and I tell Derek this all the time. People drive so out of control. And I'm always on Route 8 in Connecticut. For anyone that knows Connecticut, there's literally an accident, like, on Route 8 every day. Every single day in this one section of Route 8. Somebody goes careening off the side of the road into a ditch in some little shitbox Honda Accord. It's always the people with the cars that are, like, held together with zip ties that are going 140 miles an hour. You know, they don't even have a shot at surviving if they crash.
Yeah,
you know?
I had somebody cutting me off, like, driving like a lunatic on the same thing on the belt, and she had no driver's side mirror.
Oh, yeah, it's
and
crazy.
And 17 stickers on the back of her, like, Jeep Liberty, and I was like, I got it. I literally said to my partner, like, I'm just going to slow down because I'm not dealing with this. Like, I'm not even going to be near this bitch.
I love slowing down when I'm on a road and someone's behind me and they're, like, riding my bumper. And listen, everyone knows in a 25, you go 30, 35, all right? The speed limit is the minimum. The speed limit is the speed minimum. But I don't go crazy out of control. So if I'm doing 35 and a 25 and I got some asshole who's riding my bumper, I'll take it down to 20. I don't give a shit. I'll piss them off for miles.
Yo, Macklin used to do that, but he used to brake check people, and I'd be like, dude,
well, that
one
I don't
want to
get my car
one
smashed.
Of these days you're gonna get smashed, and like a claw hammer is gonna like come through the back window and like just claim your neck, because he would just like brake check people so hard in our boss's truck.
Oh my God.
And I'd be like, dude, like stop doing that, you're gonna kill me, you know, like I don't want to die. Oh,
I
God.
Know. I told your well, my buddy that did that,
me.
Right?
A brake check somebody?
Yeah, guy was brake checking him coming home on a holiday weekend, and he had his wife and kids in the car with the trailer.
Oh, yes.
I told you a story, and he freaking rolled it. He rear-ended the guy and rolled the whole thing, his wife and two little kids in the car. I got to get the picture of that and post it. It's just crazy.
Wait, explain it to me. Your friend was in the car with the trailer?
A friend of mine, I told the story once before. He had a camper, and he had nothing but issues with this thing. And he just wanted to get rid of it, couldn't sell it. And he had just gotten it fixed, and he went home, and he brings his wife and two little kids camping. His wife's backing him into the spot. He loses sight of her, and she's, like, waved him on, and he backs into a tree.
He literally just
got it back, and he was pissed at her, even though it was his fault. So he's like, the whole weekend was ruined.
That sounds about right.
And he's on his way home, and this guy's in front of him just driving real slow. And he's like flashing, the guy won't move. So the guy slams on his brakes. He's like, I ain't slowing down. This guy slams on his brakes again. He goes, I ain't stopping. So
what?
He tells me, he's telling me the story. He goes, so the guy hits his brakes again. He goes, I fucking flawed it. Rear-ended him.
Oh my God.
I don't even want to say his wife's name. He says, where's Susie and the kids at the time? He goes, oh, they're in the truck with me. I go, what happened? He goes, we went across two lanes of highway and flipped the truck. It was a holiday weekend. It was Labor
his
Day
truck.
Weekend,
he flipped.
His truck. With
the trailer.
Kids,
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my
Dude,
life.
Totaled the whole thing. The highway was blocked, so a lady was watching the whole
what
thing.
An idiot.
She dimed him out to the cops. And he's like, I didn't. They're like, you know, this lady's saying you did it intentionally. And he's like, no, no, nothing ever came of it. But he
wait
was
a minute.
His mind.
I thought when you rear end somebody and you're on a highway, that's your fault because even
yeah.
if they
yeah. no, no,
slam
it,
on the brakes.
It, no, no, it is, but it's still an accident. This lady was saying that he sped
purposely
up
sped up.
And
gotcha.
Purposely sped up and hit the guy. And
why would
like,
you
no.
ever do that?
Dude, this kid's a lunatic.
Listen,
yeah,
working at
the
pizza place
in
the
car?
Working at the pizza place can make people go crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Yeah. So.
Well, he was pissed because the trailer got banged up. So now it's like, now you get a new trailer have one.
I was asking about that. That's how it all started. He goes, oh, I got rid of that thing finally. I'm like,
yeah, that's one way to get rid of it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's like a timeshare, you know? It's like, you just buy, it seems like a good idea, and you can't to go away, and then you can't get rid of it. You know?
Well, it's so funny, because, like, Angela and I just got back. The reason that we didn't have last week's episode was because Angela and I were on vacation, and, you know, we went to this really nice campsite in Virginia on the way home.
Buy a timeshare?
No, we did not buy a timeshare. Oh. But, you know, you see these people that have these huge tow-behind trailers, like triple axle, and they've got – the guy's got a – he's driving a Ford Raptor, and he's got, like, a $250,000 rig behind him. And Angela's like, you know, I'm looking at these, and I'm like, I don't think there's any amount of money you could give me to drive around with one of those. She goes, how do you, like, go places? I go, you have to – she goes, how do you, like, change lanes on the highway? I go, you just drive, and, you know, I said, if you want to stop and get food, you have to, like, figure out where you can fit it, or you have to leave it at the campsite, and then you get to go out and get food. So you can't,
like,
stop.
I think that's what people do. They leave
them. Yeah, but
them.
How much fucking time do you have on your hands that you can,
well,
like, go out of
go,
your way, you
if
know?
If you go on vacation for a week and you stay at a campsite for, like, 5 days, I'd much rather be in a, you know, some big luxurious thing, but it is a pain in the ass, like, probably trying to get it there.
Oh,
like, driving on the highway is fine, but it's the stops. You're right.
Yeah.
Like, trying to make a stop, you're going to have to go to a truck stop and, like, go where the semis go.
Yeah, and or, like, just even just backing into, like, this campsite we went to was well-equipped, and, like, all the spots were, like, you know, so you could pull up and then back right in.
Gotcha.
But even still, like, you to get to the campsite, you're it's uphill, downhill, speed bumps, tight. And I'm like, I'm driving the Sprinter, and everything's moving around, you know? So imagine driving, like, you know, you're pulling a 35-foot camper. And then you got the people that are driving the full RVs that are huge, you know? The
That's
ones
what
that
I'd rather
like,
have, the,
yeah,
the RV
I
with
would,
the, like, a bus.
Yes, yes.
That'd be
but
better.
Even that, they're, those are almost 14 feet tall, so you gotta, like, and they're huge, so you have to, like, think about where you're driving. Like, I don't know, I like, that's why I think the Sprinter is nice. Mine's too small to really spend an extended amount of time in, but I think if you had, like, a 170, like, the longer one, and it was really set up, it would just be nice to be so nimble to just be able to be like, oh, yeah, we want to go to, like, a regular restaurant tonight, you know? I see the guys, the most baffling one to me is the... is like the $500,000 RV bus that's towing the car.
That's
so
funny.
Now you got to tow your car. You got the bus and the car. And I mean, I guess if that's what you kind of set up to do, it makes, you know, I'm sure there's a way that it makes sense, but it just seems like so difficult. And now camping since COVID has become so much more popular that like every campsite's booked, every campsite price has tripled, you know, like campsites would be like $8 to $10 the last time I went across the country. Now they're like $45, $55, and you're still sleeping in your own thing. So you're spending $45 bucks for $85. You can stay in a hotel, and somebody else has to do the towels, and you got a hot shower, and I don't know. It's losing its appeal.
The people that buy the $500,000 because those things are a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know how many vacations you could go on? Private jets. You go to Italy. Yeah. You go to Hawaii for $500,000.
Well, a lot of those,
like,
people sell their house.
Spending
a lot more than that.
Who's spending
at... A lot of those...
Yeah, some are like $750,000. Yeah.
Well, a
it's
lot
like,
of those people, though, sell their houses and they move into the. I watched this company did this unbelievable Sprinter conversion for this couple who literally said in the video, they go, we had three kids. They all went away to college, and we thought, what better way to keep them from coming back home than by selling the house and moving into something that they can never stay in.
You know me. I could never do any of that type of stuff. You know me with the bathroom problems.
No. I mean, you could have your own bathroom, though. I mean, it'd be private, well, you know.
I
got the gray tank.
I need a bathroom. I need
think of it as not even like a mobile home, just a mobile transport, and that you have a toilet with you all the time now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
have a toilet.
We
bring a toilet in the Sprinter, but it's just for liquids. It's just for liquids. But it has it's a camp toilet that flushes. It's got two tanks and it's got a seal. So basically what you do is like you use the toilet, you close the lid, you flush, and then you open the seal so that you never smell anything in it. And it's got packs in it so it doesn't smell like piss. It's the best thing that I ever bought.
You never piss behind a tree?
I can piss behind a tree all day long.
I'd rather do that.
But when you're driving and your lovely co-pilot wants to stop and pee, if she could just go in the back and sit on a toilet, it's much better for you. I'm telling you. Dude, or the worst concern is, God forbid, you have to slam on those brakes and that thing goes flying.
Oh, forget this shit.
Yo, but the best part is, I bought that toilet. You know, in all honesty, I bought that toilet when my dad was sick because we needed a second place for the bathroom. And, you know, when I went to take it camping, I went back and looked up the reviews because I wanted to see if anybody had any recommendations of the little, like the little tabs to drop in the water. And I'm reading the reviews just, like, kind of for shits and giggles, literally shits and giggles. And somebody puts a 1-star review and goes, "You'll never get the solids out," is the review. And I'm just like, oh my God, the fact that someone would ever get one of these, shit in it, and then try to clean it. Like, you can't clean it. It's got a spigot like this. It's got it looks like the top of a mason jar that you dump
it out in. It's like one of those bee catches. The bees can fly in, but the bees can't come out, you know?
I can't go on vacation and have it be harder, more work than when I'm at home.
Yeah. Yeah, well, dude, then don't buy an RV because RVs, you still have to hook up and clean out.
Yeah,
and you still
that.
So this that same RV camp I'm talking about, they had a dumpster, and at the end, this was the last night of our trip. I was like, oh, you know, let me just pull by the dumpster and I'll throw away all the garbage that we have, you know, a couple bags of garbage, whatever. And I see a guy emptying his RV like gray tank, and this guy is like on the ground, and there's a port coming out of the ground. He's got a hose, and now he's like, he's right there, like he's right next to this dump out. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm all set. I'm not going to the dumpster. I'm fine. I'll just throw this shit out at like a Starbucks or something on the way home.
Do you ever see they get the little tanks that they roll around and they collect it out of with the tanks? We went on a bachelor party.
No thanks.
And we rented like one of those luxury, you know, like buses. And so we go up there, we're all just young kids, and the bus driver's like, hey, where am I staying? We're like, I don't know, we'll stay wherever. He goes, like, part of the deal is you guys got to get me a room and stuff. So we had no money, we had no room. We ended up having this guy room with us. This was like an older guy, and he just, like, we're up in Montreal, so we're in all the strip joints and all that. We're like, you know, 22. And this guy's just, like, partying with us. You know, he took his tie and his suit off. We're like, dude, no suit, no nothing. So he's drinking with us. So we're coming home, and we're coming through Vermont, and we stop at a rest area. And he's like, nobody used the toilet other than just, like, pee, right? We're like, a couple of us peed in it, you know? Guys were taking dumps in it, everything, right?
Oh,
dude,
no.
We're at a rest stop. He goes, I'm going to just – I don't think it's full. I'm just going to empty it here. He pulled it at the rest stop. It was a scenic thing. Dude, this thing, we thought we were back up in Canada, Niagara Falls, right? Across the parking lot. He's like, everybody in the bus, everybody in the bus.
You're on the Canadian side of the falls.
Right? Oh, my God. We get in the bus. He's going down 89. He was probably doing 90 miles an hour down there.
Oh,
he was so
afraid
he was going to get in trouble. He's like, I thought nobody put toilet paper in there. He's like, I'm going to get arrested. He was, oh, my God, he's so funny.
That's so funny.
He didn't think it was funny, but, oh, my God, it was so bad.
Oh God! Well, on the next topic, Derek, how your you got a lot of epoxy going out over there?
Yeah,
you know,
I got epoxy flowing out of everything over here. Yeah, no, I just
what do you got going on?
Busy, just busy. You know, some brewing signs, some those little Celtic knots. Everybody seemed to love those. Now we got some Red Sox ones going, but no, it's been a lot of fun, and it's getting you know, it's getting much easier to do it, and it's yeah, a lot of people like it. A lot of people want me to do different type signs, and you know, somebody had recommended I try doing this, and that was a good idea, and then try that. So I'm gonna try to I want to try to like start lighting them up. I want to try to do something like that. See if I can do that. But no, it's been fun. You know, I was supposed to go down to Total Boat. They wanted me to demonstrate it down there, but I don't know if I'm gonna have time to get down there. But yeah, a lot of epoxy.
Yeah, a lot of epoxy. I can imagine you're getting a lot of, oh, you should do this, or oh, I bet you should do that. I'm sure you're getting a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah, I like when people do that.
Yeah, a couple people did have some good ideas. So
I'm sure.
Three out of 100 are bound to be.
Yeah. Everybody suggested like the lights. It's like, that was kind of obvious to go there, but
I'd have to imagine that it just feels so good to not be spray painting those freaking things.
Yeah. I just,
like, it's been a while since we saw it's been a while since we saw Derek from Malden, like, spray painting
so
saga.
Because it was so funny because today it was beautiful out, and I was like, oh, it'd be a great day to spray paint the sign, but not today.
I'd rather not. I'd much rather just have like this is a great day. That's like saying it's a great day to paint my house. Thank God I'm not doing it. You know,
it's just a
great day to mow the lawn.
I just moved all the spray paint too, so I'm like, you know what? I'm just like so done with that. You know, it just it's just, it looks like so much nicer, and I don't know. It's, I mean, I'll obviously spray paint signs still, but it just for now, it's, this is just fun. It gets a little messy. It gets to be a bit much. I don't know how. I see those videos with Jess Crow's doing like 50 cutting boards, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I have no idea how she does that. I mean, she's just dumping it on, but still, even like this, like the first color, like last night I just dumped it on and it looked like a bloodbath down here. But it's like, it's just fucking a lot. And it's like, you don't want that shit getting everywhere. You know, it's like, you gotta just. Yeah, I don't know.
It's Isn't just, there a material a that it doesn't stick to that she has, like her work surface?
Yeah. So that's, that's.
Does she
nice
have UHHM or something like that as her workbench?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's funny because I just bought some, like, silicone cups to mix in. And, I mean, Total Boat's so nice. They'll send me anything. And they send me a ton of cups. And, you know, some people bitch, like, oh, you have so much waste. And, I mean, I saved them all. And, like, I mean, this is from, like, the last 2 days. I mean, all these. But I clean them out. You know, for the most part, it seems like you can clean them twice. And I try to just separate them all into colors. So if I'm doing red, I'll take an old red one. So if any little bits of red get in it, it'll be in red, you know. But it just does seem like a lot of just stuff, you know, you go through. So
but like one speck and you wreck your pour. Like that's how I feel about paint, you know?
Yeah.
Like you ever seen guys that just use like the same roller tray over and over again with different colors? And it's like, you're bound to get some like blue in the white, you know?
Yeah. You're just picking shit out of it. You spend more time doing that, you know?
You ever seen the guys that put colored pencils in epoxy?
Never seen that. I was never thinking of trying that. I should do a
Paul, you know what? Yeah, you should revamp your channel. Like, give it new life with that.
I'm actually working on, it's funny, I put everything off, and I was supposed to be doing two signs, 3D signs, for this friend of mine. His wife was having twins in April. So this is in February, he asked me. I'm like, oh, April. Like, I got, like, almost a year to do that, you know? So I'm putting it off, and he was one of the ones I put a post. So like, four or five people reached out to me. I'm like, if you're waiting for a project to be done and you don't see it being worked on, don't worry. I didn't forget about you. So, like, I got, like, four or five messages. He was one of them. But he's like, no, don't worry. So the other day I did a test cut, and I sent him a picture, and I said, hey, I didn't forget about you. I did a practice run today. It looks really good. What do you think? He replies back with a picture of his kids. His wife had them early. He goes, she had them 10 days ago. I'm like, oh God. He's like, dude, don't worry. We're everybody's fine, and we're just, doing daddy baby things right now. So, but I was like, oh man, I got to get these done.
That's so funny. I had the same thing happen to me where I had been talking to a friend of a friend who owns a tattoo shop, and he's like, they just moved to the beach town on the South Shore of Long Island. And he's like, dude, I want two like cool bike racks for outside the tattoo shop. He's like, I want like a peace sign and a big heart. And he goes, and I want to paint the peace sign like neon green and the heart pink, but like really bright so that people like synonymize these bike racks with the tattoo shop. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. So I worked up a design like when he asked me, and I was going to do it at a 2-inch square tube. And like, I was going to try to roll the thing and whatever. And then, now like all of a sudden it's warm out and I'm like, shit, I'm like, he's probably looking for those bike racks. And then I go in my Instagram DMs and there he is like, hey man, are you still going to able to do those for me? I'm like, fuck. So I think my brain just like missed this completely. I've been thinking about how I'm going to build these, and like, I was going to do square tube, but I can't roll the radius. It's too tight. And then I was going to use, 12 gauge plate, and I was going to weld all the seams, so I was going to cut them out on the plasma table. And then all of a sudden it hit me like, why don't I just use a round tube and I can roll them on the tubing roller and make the hearts like no problem with the round tube. Like, why would I not do that from the beginning? And I think it was because I couldn't draw the round tube in SketchUp, so I thought like, oh well, square is easier, I'll just do square. But now it'll look great in round, and that's my new tool. Speaking of round tube,
I saw that today.
Oh, I got myself something good, Paul. You're gonna need one of these one day.
Anytime I see you start an Instagram story and it's pointing at the gravel driveway to start off, I know you're rolling some shit out of that freaking van.
Dude, this thing is a metal shop essential, man. This thing is cool.
Yeah, I gotta get one of these.
It's a hydraulic tubing bender from Rogue Fabrications. I paid $2,000 for the bender with 5 dies, the hydraulic kit, and he gave me a $500 tubing notcher with it. The whole thing's probably like about $7,000 if I had to replace it.
Is that really?
Yeah, dude. That tubing bender, the one that he sold me, assembled and painted without the hydraulics, is $3,000. To get a hydraulic, like the hydraulic cylinder like he gave me runs off of like your hydraulic press.
Yeah.
The company recommends just getting any like long ram hydraulic cylinder. So a lot of people use the Harbor Freight one. That's like $100. But to get a hydraulic system set up is like at least, I don't know, $500, $1,000 with hoses and reservoir and the switch. And then the table that he fabricated is super heavy duty. Mm-hmm. It's like all 3/16 plate, and it's like the guy was a welding instructor that I bought it from. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is like, and it's all done. I don't have to touch anything.
Yeah,
nice. So there's like value in that. He used it twice, so everything's brand new.
Huh.
And it's awesome. It's a really cool tool. So I was funny. I was gonna buy one of those horizontal ones, like that you've probably seen. Like with the big. Kind of like the Hosfeld, but just for doing tubing. And they're pretty expensive, and the dies are expensive, and like,
yeah, I bet the dies are pricey.
The dies are like usually $300 a set. You can assume about $300 a set. And if you buy, if you buy like a good tubing bender and you buy dies, you're gonna spend about. Like a manual tubing bender, the one I was going to buy was $475, then the stand was an extra $100, and that's with no dies. So if I were to buy 5 sets of dies at $300 a die, I would have spent the same $2,000, and I'd still be cranking the thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think it's going to have cool – it's going to have some cool projects that it can do, and it's much different than a regular horizontal bender because this one, the way they designed it – and I don't know if you watched my Instagram story, Paul, but like the way that it works is you clamp a block to the pipe, Mm-hmm. You make the bend, and then if you want to correct it, the block stays on the pipe. So you just put the block back in, and it repins, and you can keep bending from the exact same place without worrying about it twisting at all.
Oh, that's cool. I like
so, that. And what's cool is you can buy multiple blocks. So let's say you're doing like a really complicated bend.
Oh, you can leave them all on
You
there.
Can leave them all on.
Oh, wow.
And the
That'd
whole
be good
thing
for like
is,
a motorcycle frame or something.
And for something roll cages, yeah. like a dune buggy, like, you know, shit like that.
That's
and,
cool.
Yeah, it's definitely that part got me pretty interested because like when me and Matt were making the roll cage for the ramp,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it's tricky. And then if you have to correct the bend, you have to put the tube back in and hope that it doesn't twist. Otherwise you add a twist to the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like, you know, I'm going to use them on the bike racks. It's obviously the job's not going to pay for it, but it'll put some money back into it, which will feel good. And then, you know, well, whatever, I have it. So,
yeah.
you know, I feel like if you ever had to make like a railing or something, it would be a really good thing to have. Cause you
Definitely.
Could very easily like, you know, the other thing that's cool too, is that the block, when you put the block on, you have a definite offset from the block to the center of the bend.
Oh,
versus okay. on a normal bender, you kind of have to figure that out. Huh. So with this, every time you put the block on, you like basically know exactly where your bend's going to start, which makes
gotcha.
Setting up the bend. I don't know if you've ever tried to bend tubing, but it's very difficult to be accurate.
I'm sure, yeah.
Without
I
doing
feel like
a
you'd,
test bend.
You'd always be like bending the thing and leaving each end a little long, and then you go back and cut each end or something.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, though, what happens when you have two bends that need to be a
yeah.
certain distance from each other? You
that's
know,
the
like
thing.
That's where
yeah.
it gets hard. When I worked for the lighting company, we used to, our first piece of tubing that I would bend, I would mark it in half inch increments with a Sharpie.
Oh, okay.
And I would mark where I started, and then I would make my bend, and it would tell me exactly, you know, like how much material I used and all that shit. You know, that was just sort of like sort of my way that I figured out how to make it work. But, you know, we threw away a lot of brass tubing, you know, trying to figure out
yeah.
exactly how to do it. So anyway, so I got that today, and then I got the skid steer, which
saw that.
Derek,
that's cool.
Derek and Paul, you guys got to come up and have
yeah.
a skid steer fucking have
say,
a skid steer
bring
party.
Out Rones and have a
Dude,
fight.
We got to throw Willie on that thing, have him drive right through the house.
Dude, oh my god, it's so much fun. It is so much fun. It's like dangerously fun, cuz you just
yeah,
want to like you just want to keep going. Like you just
yeah.
want to find like the first as soon as I got in it, Matt was like, "Yeah, drive it around, you know, work the bucket." He goes, "And then just drive over a tree." And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, just drive over that tree. I'm like, dude, what are you? He's like, just drive over the tree, dude.
You should have drove over the trail instead of trying to flip it up. You should have had
yeah.
it like you're trying to load it on it.
Well, what I kept thinking was like, oh my god, that would have been so funny if I was like, oh, I'm gonna tow it home now, and
yeah.
I drove up on
yeah.
it. Oh my god, what a missed opportunity!
I'm like, how did he not
Jesus
do that?
Christ.
Well, I was worried I was gonna like, cause I don't know what's underneath it. I think it's just a steel plate underneath it. I don't think there's anything under it that can get damaged.
Is there like a skid
yeah.
plate under the?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Some
like
type of protection.
Yeah,
cause I don't know. Cause I'm driving this thing through the woods, and I'm thinking like, well, what happens if something like kicks up and just like, you know,
yeah.
I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about these machines.
Like, make a cage or something for your. To protect you in case like something ricochets back or like you know,
yeah, I was
cab.
Thinking if about trying to just get like a like make a door for it because like
yeah.
I know a lot of people just rip the doors off, but like even just driving through the property, there's so many like thick
yeah,
thorn
branches.
Bushes.
Yeah,
and like you know they're like I drove up to the top section and
mm-hmm.
Was just driving around like just to make sure that it would make it in that mud up there because it was pretty damp up there, and even just driving back, I kept having to stop and like climb out of the cab and. Like pull branches away because they were just like stabbing into the
yeah.
into the thing.
You gotta wear like
so,
eye protection in case a
yeah.
branch pokes through and gets in the eye.
Yeah, and you're not really paying attention to the branches.
No.
You're paying attention to like everything else. So, but it was really fun, and you know, I can't wait to like use. Like, I mean, we all have to like go up and hang out there and just like
yeah.
mess with it all day because it's so much fun. It's you know, Jimmy drove it around for a little bit, and like. You know, messed around in the driveway, and he actually flipped the trailer the first time, and then we flipped it back just for the YouTube video. Which
that's all fraud.
It's all a fraud, but you know, whatever. I wanted to show, like, you know, the new piece of equipment that I got, so it's cool.
I would love one of those and a mini excavator. I love little excavators. Those are fun to drive.
Yeah, I just was looking at one. I was gonna send it to you. It was in upstate New York. It was like an older Cat. It was like only like $6,000 or something like that. But
oh really? Wow.
But yeah, I think the only thing about this thing that's a little bit funny is the way that the bucket's on there. You've got, so like the Toyota accessories, I guess, are really hard to come by. So somebody took the front of a Gale bucket plate from a Gale skid steer, cut it off, and then welded it to where the Toyota bucket should have been.
So
this is the plate, and the bucket should like go right up against it, but instead it's out here.
So you're losing leverage.
Much further out. Yeah, exactly. And Matt's boss, who I bought the machine from, has had two of these same machines.
Oh, really?
So he kept one, and I got the other, and his one has the factory Toyota stuff on it, and it definitely seems like it makes a lot more sense. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm going to keep my eyes out. Somebody actually was selling the exact skid steer that I bought for parts the other day on Facebook for $800, and I tried to buy it from him even before I bought mine, but he sold it within like 30 minutes because I think the parts are so hard to come by. But either way, I think it'll be, you know, obviously it's going to make going up there and trying to work just like so much more possible.
Yeah, you need something.
Now there's like, you can't even walk to the hill and back like with material now because it's like such a waste of time. Now at least I can drag shit up there and, you know, fill the bucket with tools if we're going up top to build shit and all that. So
I'm glad you bought a machine for the property you never go to.
I know. Well, you know, that machine wouldn't do too much for me down here. It really wouldn't. You know, it can only lift like 1,400 pounds.
With
the factory bucket tight, I could lift, it says 1,450 pounds. So, like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm not going to. And also, too, it's so much more cumbersome than a forklift. Like, even just.
Oh, yeah,
gently,
you couldn't use it for a forklift. I'm saying.
Imagine me trying to unload. Like, imagine me trying to unload, like, something from my truck with that, and I'm like,
yeah,
I'm going to lift it, and it just right through the roof, just right.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Good video, though.
It would be a great video, but, you know, I bought that machine because the opportunity came up in the perfect moment.
No, that's,
you know,
a good machine to have. I if I could find one, I would get one, too, just because it's very useful.
And as a piece of behind the scenes information for the listeners on here, I only paid $4,000 for that machine with the bucket and the forks. Like, come on.
Yeah, those are expensive. If you were going to buy a skid steer new, they're probably like 50, 60 grand.
A friend of mine just bought one. They spent $68,000 on it.
Wow.
And he used it to like grade his backyard. I'm like, dude, he's an electrician. I'm like, dude, how are you going to make this money back?
You know, that's a ton of money. You could go to United Rentals and they have them. They were like $29,000 for like ones that were newer and in pretty good shape because, you know, they keep all this stuff working nice.
Yeah.
But I mean, $29,000 or it was like $26,000 or $29,000. That's a ton of money still. But if you're, if you use it every day, you need it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, this machine has this machine had 5,000 hours on it, but it only had two owners. So, the original owner bought it brand new, and he kept it in a shed outside of a shopping mall, and he only did snow with it for 20 years. And then Matt's boss got it from him in a trade, and it just like basically worked around his property for the last like 10 years. But when you see it, I was shocked when I saw it because I never saw a photo of it before I committed to buying it. When I saw it for the first time, I couldn't believe how much nicer it was than what I was expecting.
Oh, yeah, it looked
great. I thought it was going to be a piece of shit.
I'm like, uh-oh, Chris bought a freaking jalopy, 1980s jalopy. I'm like, this ain't going to be good. But it looked nice when I saw it. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a 30-year-old machine. So, like, hydraulics are a little whiny, and it's loud. It's got a little hole in the muffler, but.
But it's perfect to keep up there and do what you need to do. You know, you wouldn't want to spend $12,000 on something to keep up there, you know, and get. You know, have a raccoon nest in it or something.
Right, I know. Well, that's the next thing I got to do is I got to build some sort of something to keep it in. Right now, it's just under a tarp, being closely monitored by three security cameras.
You should just have a shed brought up there, like on a truck.
Yeah, I think I'm going to buy a small box.
Let's get real here. When are you going to build something up there?
I know.
Just get the shed delivered for 1,200.
I thought you were going to drive it into the side of the building or something.
Dude, I absolutely would if I wasn't, like, so sure that I would regret it when I'm in the basement of that building and it's collapsing around
me. That's the thing. It's such a shame it wasn't just on a slab. They had to put some stupid... Like, what is the point of a crawl space if you're not going to have a full basement? Like, who came up with that idea of crawl spaces?
It's terrible. It's terrible. You know why? Because it's cheaper to do a crawl space than it is to pour a concrete slab.
Because why? Because you got to route everything in the concrete. Like this.
And concrete's expensive, you know?
Yeah.
Cinder blocks are cheap. Cinder blocks are cheap. So you just do that and wood framing and that's it. But, yeah, no, I think, you know, even just for the novelty of being able to drive around and destroy shit, it'll be very, very fun. So
yeah. If you plan on doing anything up there, you're going to need some type of machine like that.
Yeah, and, you know, Jimmy had a good time driving it around.
it's fun, too.
That's what's important.
Yeah, it's a community effort. Mike, the fireman, was, like so excited. He's like, dude, he's like, I could use that. Like, yeah. Well, I said, you know, I said to Derek, you know, it seems like a good idea to say, like, oh, yeah, throw it on the trailer and, like, bring it to your house. But it's so much work to, like, bring a trailer up there, get the machine on the trailer, secure it properly, you know, then trailer it to wherever it's got to go, get it off the trailer, use it, put it back on the trailer. You know, like when you can call a rental company and they'll just drop it off for like $400 for the day. It's like, yeah, that sounds good to me.
That's why whenever my son used to be like, Dad, let's get snowmobiles. It's like, dude, unless you have a place to like, go outside, jump on it, and ride it.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass. I did that for a year, and me and my buddy, like, we split a place to just use in the wintertime because it sucked. We'd trailer them up there, load them up, and drive them up there. It's like, forget that.
Same thing with people who have boats, and you got to put it on a trailer and bring it to the lake. It's like, it's just a pain in the ass.
The best kind of boat to have
is your friend's boat, right?
Somebody else's. Yeah, your friend's boat. Yeah. Macklin was talking about the boat that he's got over here, and it's funny because the boat with the 50 horsepower motor.
The boat's like 6 feet long. It's got a massive motor hanging off the back of it. The nose is sticking up in the air. He's got the freaking Carolina squat.
He's got the Carolina squat.
He was ahead of his time, that kid.
That's right. Yeah. He's got the C-Cliff squat.
First squatted boat.
Oh, my God. So I was like, dude, what are you going to do with that thing? He's like, I don't know, man. Last time he took it out, he got stranded on it, had no oar, and was just out in the water. He thought he was going to have to sleep on the boat. And then luckily he flagged somebody down. The sun was going down. His phone was dead. And the fuel pump failed. And I'm like, dude, how do you not have an oar? Like, you're on this little rinky-dink boat. That motor could fall off that thing and just be gone in a second, you know?
Thank God he's only in Long Island Sound, you know.
But even still, if it's cold, you could definitely not do so good overnight.
It's better than
the
being
sound.
In the Atlantic.
Oh, hell yeah. I just watched a video on Facebook that popped up about these guys that went out fishing in the Gulf, and their the propeller off their motor broke off and just vanished. And they were just stuck for like 10 hours out at sea. And they were shooting flares off, but boats were coming by in the open ocean. They were shooting off flares, and nobody could find them.
Did you hear the story about the freaking guy who – I think it was a fishing boat somewhere. I don't know where it was. It was in another country. The boat sinks, right? It's a decent-sized boat. Everybody dies. It's like 3 days later, divers go down to, like, examine the wreck. They open up a room, and there's a guy in there alive in a little air pocket because of the way the boat sank. Mm-hmm. Like, it flipped upside down. And there was some little air pocket. He was in there for like 3 days, alive, hundreds of feet below the surface of the ocean.
Yeah,
and he lived. And they had to like bring him up slowly because the pressure difference. Can you imagine that guy? I mean, what a lucky guy that he's trapped under the boat for days at the bottom of the ocean, and divers just happen to go find him. That's like insane.
You have to tell everybody that story if that happens to you.
Yeah,
I'm all set, dude. On land, that shit doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't happen. This happened in Africa. Oh, my God. This dude.
Yeah, dude. Look at that poor bastard.
He was trapped for 60 hours in a capsized boat. 60 hours. This is a way better story than the guy who cut his own arm off in the Grand Canyon, you know? The 127 hours guy. Holy shit. Oh my god!
This guy's at the bottom of the ocean.
That's not that impressive. I'd cut my arm off.
That's why you carry the Leatherman.
I mean,
so you can cut your arm off.
It's easier to say that than to do it. You cut it off.
I would do that if you had to.
Well, I guess if you had to, yeah. No, let's not think about that.
Anyway, what do you guys? What's so, Paul? Now that the truck is done, do you just close the business and just like take on something completely different?
I'm freaking swamped right now. I have so many things to do.
Yeah, because you've been building a fucking truck for 2 weeks.
Yeah, right? That's why people buy flatbeds and they let someone else build them.
Yeah, but all the flatbeds are so shitty.
No, you did a great job, man.
Little
thin
diamond plate. Like, it would have cost more money. It would have cost, I would have spent $8,000 on a bed that I would have to, like, do a bunch of stuff to.
Mm-hmm.
And it would rot out in a couple of years. This thing's not rotting out anytime soon.
No.
No.
Oh, my God. But,
Did you get the black galvanizing? Did that like happen? Did you get the samples? I'm very interested in how that works out.
We're still working on those. We're going to send them probably in like a week. Everything will be done. By the end of the week, I think it'll all be done and we'll send it up there. We'll see. Yeah, I'm interested to see how it comes out too. I've never seen it before. It should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm very interested in seeing how it comes out. I just feel like there's a lot of applications for that. Yes.
Remember, not to change the subject, remember the guy you were talking about a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that made those vacuum pads to hold up?
His
name?
It's like Kuros. Kuros Woodworking. I don't know.
Yeah. I was on the phone with him last night for quite a while.
Why, are you buying a vacuum pad?
He's sending them to me.
Oh, okay. I sent them to you because he was pre-ordering them and you were talking about them. And I was like, you should get one.
It was so funny. And what happened was when you sent me the link and all that, we're talking about it. And it was like the day after he did the pre-order. So I'm like, I don't want to reach out to this guy the day after or whatever.
Yeah.
So somebody else had recommended them. And I sent him a message. He's like, what type of stuff are you doing? I sent him my Instagram. So he checked it out. He goes, hey, how about I send you a couple and you just, you know, use them. And let me know what you think about him, you know?
Nice.
I says, nah, I'd love to. And we got on the phone last night. Super nice guy. And he's a cabinet maker and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was sending me video of them and stuff today. The things are amazing. They were.
Yeah, they're very cool. Yeah.
It's so funny because I was talking to somebody on Instagram the other day, and I had these little things, these little hockey puck things.
Yeah,
these little
vacuum
things. I didn't know how to use them or what they were because I didn't have a vacuum thing. And the kid's like, no, this thing here, you put your air compressor on it, and it creates a vacuum by blowing the air past the things. And that's
a little Venturi?
Yeah, a little Venturi. Just like
a Venturi action?
Buddy.
Yeah.
And so I've been using those. Those work okay, but they're not that great. But this kid was showing me those vacuum pads. Those are unbelievable.
Yeah, and either battery powered and shit or whatever.
Yeah,
and like,
you can do them different ways. You can use them on a vacuum. You can use them with the air compressor like that. And, you know, he's like, he just has this tiny little air compressor and he has it screwed into the input of it, like where it sucks the air in. And that creates the vacuum. And I don't know. I can't wait to get them because that's been half the issue. I've been keeping these things, these signs on the CNC table. And polishing them there and everything because they're all secured, you know?
Yeah.
They're making a mess of everything over there, but.
Yeah, I like that. It's like that Grabo thing that Izzy Swan's been talking about, the Grabo suction pad.
Yeah,
the sucker.
I almost bought that last week. It's like $250 bucks, though. Like,
yeah, it's not cheap. I almost bought one, too, because I was like, oh, it might be nice to have. And then I was like,
Yeah, that's what I was like. For $250, I'm like, I don't know.
I'm
all set. Spitting wax all over my CNC for $250.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like, you know, I don't. I have a magnetic, and Paul, you got to get one of these for the CNC plasma. I have a magnetic chuck off of a surface grinder. And every time I need to, like, deburr, I just turn it on. You know, it's got the lever. And I just drop my plates on it and grind the shit out of them. That's why I was thinking, like, oh, one of those suction cups might be cool for, like, doing metal. But as soon as it gets clogged up with metal dust, it's going to get fucking all gross. And at least with the magnetic chuck, I get to kill two birds with one stone. I get to piss off every machinist that's ever lived because it's a brown and sharp magnetic chuck. And I get to accomplish my goal, you know?
Yeah.
So... You know, it's a win-win.
Build one of those
like drum, if I find a speed reducer that's not like $800, I want to build a
Oh, I never sent you that one. I meant to send you the right angle one. Yeah, because I built a setup for like $300.
That's what I need.
What
is it for? For all my plasma cut parts, I want to make a big drum that spins. A tumbler.
Oh,
yeah.
To deburr everything, you know.
I just got a speed reducer for my sewing machine today.
Oh, yeah? I don't know if I'll be able to power a drum with 200 pounds of steel.
No, you could probably use it for that. It's just two pulleys. Like mm-hmm. offset, the big one, the small one.
Yeah.
And it's heavy, heavy. All big, huge steel, beautiful bearing. I mean, it wasn't cheap. And, you could probably use this thing, hook it up to a motor with a belt, and then, you know, it's got
how much does it reduce it by?
I don't know. I don't know the specs on it. I might have, the guy just sent me a link because I want to buy another one to put on my other machine. Hmm. But, let me see if it says it on the info. But it's nice.
Petty.
I mean, it's heavy steel. That's what when I called you today about the bolts. That's what
yeah.
That's what I need the bolts for.
Gotcha.
To do that on. Let me see if it says on this.
Yeah, the one I bought when I did the bed. I know the petty welding one with the giant tire
axle or something.
Yeah, that's he used exactly. I found the one that I bought when I did the rotating bed. It was 60-1. The ratio, and
that's
it was
like around what I need.
Yeah, this and then I bought.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I found a 900 RPM Dayton three phase motor on eBay for like $100, and then I bought a cheap VFD, but I didn't buy one of the real cheap ones where you have to push the arrow. I bought the KBAC.
Uh-huh.
Which is the same one you have on your grinder, but
yeah.
I bought the unsealed one because the ones that we have on our grinders
have
are all.
One.
Oh, you do. So
I
then
have an extra one.
Yeah,
oh, that's
so
a
like,
good idea.
Because if you buy a 1,000 RPM motor and then you put it on that 60-1, at least you get that like nice speed reduction, and you're not going
to
lose too much torque.
Oh,
and
that's
honestly,
what I need to do.
Oh, that's nice. But honestly, you can buy three phase motors used on eBay, or even this Dayton I bought was brand new in the box. On eBay, they're so cheap because nobody wants three-phase motors. I'll find the actual spec of the gear reducer that I bought, and I'll send it to you because it was cool. It was like it had an input for the motor shaft on one end, and then it had a blank for on the other end, so you would just put a shaft in it, and then it could drive whatever you wanted.
Gotcha.
I literally did all the research I had to do. For this exact purpose when we tried to make that rotating bed. So I definitely have some stuff kicking around.
I'll just swing by Make Everything Shop and browse your motor selection.
I mean, dude, I have like a bunch of other three-phase motors here. They're just all faster. They're 1,700 RPM motors.
I could always I'll buy one from you if you have one that's like a 1 horsepower or something. And I could always, because I need to, you know, use a chain drive probably anyways. So I could just put a really big pulley or big sprocket on one end and a really small one on the other to get that speed reduced down, you know, even more, and then use the VFD. Yeah, that's a good idea about the VFD. I forgot about that.
And they're so cheap. I mean, like, you could
get one.
Yeah. If you have one, even better. But even if you didn't, like, you can buy a VFD for $100.
Yeah.
You know?
That's definitely what I'm going to do.
They're super inexpensive.
That'll be a good video, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's that thing that Petty Welding uses seems awesome. You know?
Yeah, it's cool the way he did it. I like that guy a lot.
And yeah, he does nice stuff.
The guy's Bull Fab, I think.
I only follow the Petty Welding guy, but
I think the guy that works with him, his name is Bull Fab. That they do nice stuff. They have like a distinct kind of style. Like I could tell when I see a picture, I could tell it's like their stuff.
Yeah,
they do a really nice job.
That's like when you see the driveway or me pointing into the back of the van.
I see the
gravel
driveway. I know Chris is about to show something in his van. Yeah. He's about to ramp it down with a piece of plywood.
Oh, here
you
go, Paul. Paul, I just found it's a 1/3 horsepower, which is probably all you need to drive a wheel.
Yeah.
1100 RPM motor with a gear reducer on it.
Oh, dude. Send it to me.
$230 on eBay with $8 shipping or best offer.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I would buy that right now.
Right? I mean, you could
do
a little
you're
bit.
You're good with these searches.
Listen, because I want to just burn my money as fast as I make it. So I'm like, bang, bang, bang. Woo, here we go. Oh, buying a tubing bender. Perfect. I need 500 hammers. We didn't even talk about the 500 hammers that I bought.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing?
Don't worry. You're going to see. You're one of these. You're going to see. I'm going to. It's a plan. It's like Bitcoin. It's like Bitcoin.
Dude, I'm doing good on Bitcoin.
You know, it's like buying Dogecoin.
Money with the stop, like, sell things.
Oh, I don't know how to use that at all. The hold and the put and all that thing. Well, yeah, I don't know any of that.
Yeah, if it, like, hits a certain, if it drops below a certain price, it'll sell automatically.
Oh, I see, I see.
It'll drop 20% in, like, an hour. Like, you never know.
I see.
And so I just let it drop, and then if it keeps on going down, I wait. And then when I think it's done, I buy it back again, and then I wait for it to go up.
I see.
Yeah.
So I have to state out loud on the Handmade Podcast, don't take any of our stock tips. Because I was a guest.
Dude, I'm
on,
up 60-something percent this year.
I listen.
Dude, this is a record year for me.
It's a good year,
this is
but
the first year
but
I've
to
ever
all
invested
the listeners, to all the listeners, do not take our advice. Yesterday I did a recording with Jeff on the Full Blast podcast, and he said, he was talking about the Handmade stock tips section. He was like,
yeah,
you guys
dude.
Gotta cut that shit out. He's like, you
nah,
gotta
dude.
Stop with these fakakta. He
Everybody
said your fakakta
better,
stock tips.
You gotta throw all your money into Doge and
Doge
NFTs.
Baby.
I'm currently
launching
some Duresta NFTs pretty soon.
Oh,
I'm consulting
I hope you
with a,
are.
With an expert in the community that you guys know about. Yeah, I got an NFT expert who's an expert
your NFT
on,
guru.
On, expert on probably about 10 different things. This person's an expert on, and he I don't know is helping me with NFTs.
They
and
an
we're
expert.
Launching some Duresta NFTs. You know, I got to use someone's name who's big.
And Jimmy gets nothing.
He doesn't even know about it. He's
Jimmy gets
listening
nothing.
To this. By the time he hears this, I already sold 100,000 in Duresta NFTs.
By the time this comes out, you'll have made so much money on Duresta NFTs, he's going to have to ask you to use his name.
You're going to see a video of me on Instagram burning one of his prints like that kid did and putting and making an NFT out of it.
Oh, my God.
You know that guy Chris DiStefano I was telling you guys about last time?
Yeah.
He calls himself Chrissy Crypto. Because he
oh
took all his
God.
Money. He bought a whole Bitcoin, I think. He's so funny. This guy, he's absolutely out of his mind. He calls himself Chrissy Crypto. He doesn't know anything about crypto, but he bought a bunch of Bitcoin. He bought Doge. Wait, is it Doge?
Doge.
Doge. Okay, Doge.
Doge.
I get the pronunciation messed up. But I don't know.
Doge.
This NFT shit seems like a real big scam. I know you sent
big
me that
scam.
Article.
Yep.
It just doesn't. And the only way you could make money is if, like, you're well-known. Like, me and you aren't making money on NFTs.
No.
There's no way.
No.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's there's an article for those listeners that are actually interested in the NFT thing. There's a very interesting article that Ben Ueda posted a link to about how NFTs are basically, like, a really dangerous pyramid scheme that, like, are going to just cost regular people maybe not a ton of money, but a lot of people will lose a little bit of money, or some of them will lose a lot, and a lot of people will then capitalize gargantuanly on all these little fish losing their money. So,
do you remember that pyramid scheme? It was probably about 5 years ago now. It was the biggest one ever at the time. Big Brazilian guy. It was something involved with is when people are still using those phone cards. For calling overseas. And my neighbor, they were targeting Brazilians. And my neighbor was Brazilian at the time. And he was trying to get me into it. And we went out to dinner. And he got caught up in it. And he didn't lose a ton of money, but he lost some money. But he did have like $50,000 he almost lost.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
And he's taking me out, and he's like, listen, dude, all of a sudden this kid just started taking vacations and everything with his family. He goes, I get so much money. He goes, I got to, like, get rid of it. He's like, I'm
That's
making more money. I know what to do
I've
with it. Dude, it was ridiculous, right? And I'm saying to my wife, I says, something don't make sense here. Like, us foreigners are not smart, but we know, like, there's no really way to get rich quick, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think I'm all set, dude. You know, I'm like, I'm good. and it came out, and I mean, the next town over, it's a lot of Brazilians, and a couple of them got in trouble. He didn't get in trouble. He was kind of on the other side of it, but it was, at the time, it was the biggest.
He was the one getting schemed.
It was like, it was something like $40 billion.
Oh, this guy had made shit.
And stuff. And it was just, it was like just crazy. And it's like, I don't know. I don't say you will never hear any business or stock advice from me because I don't understand any of it. And I don't want to know any of it. And that's it. But
did you
Dogecoin?
Did you see Doge that? Coin. Speaking of Brazil,
I used to play Dogeball.
Yeah, well, now we're dealing in Dogecoin.
Now we're doing coins now.
To the moon.
Yeah, GME to the moon.
That's it.
Did you see that thing? I think it was I think it was in Brazil. It was like a Nigerian guy sold a fake airport to like a Brazilian bank for like $150 million.
Oh,
and it never existed.
Oh,
and he got away with it for like a while, but I think they got the money or they arrested him or something.
Oh, I got something to talk about this, and I was gonna send you this today, Paul. So you know how you love your Italian cooks, you know your TikTokers. Did you guys read about there was a mafia guy who was on the run from the Italian government, and he got caught because his wife was making Italian cooking videos, and he would be in them, and somebody recognized him. He was living in Brazil or like Portugal. He had escaped. He did it. He made it. He was living a great life, and he got freaking busted through a TikTok cooking video.
Listen, oh my god, Paulie,
what an asshole!
Did you drop a dime, Paulie?
Yeah, right. Come on.
Guy? Was it you?
Did you rat this guy out, Paul?
No,
come on.
No. Maybe it was Mama Ox husband. I don't know.
Maybe we talked about him on the Handmaid.
Can you imagine? You know what?
He does one video making his kid breakfast.
Yeah, Papa Ox made that bacon, egg, and cheese, and they got you know. If anyone's in the mafia, it's freaking Papa Ox. Have you heard Papa Ox talk? He's like about as Staten Island as you can get. I mean, these guys, this family's unreal.
Oh my god,
it's funny because my mom just said to me, she's like, where the hell's Mama Ock been lately? This was like a day or two ago, and I'm like, I don't know, I haven't seen her in a while. I gotta check in on her.
You better check in.
Yeah,
you better check in on maybe her. What else?
Maybe Papa Ock got whacked.
Maybe. What else have you guys been watching while we bring this episode to a close?
I'm gonna recommend. It's funny
you're ready. You're ready. Cooking. Derek's ready this week. Okay.
It's funny you said a cooking show. So it's funny. I had been watching it a while ago. I haven't watched it in a little while, but I'm gonna be back on it. It's a local group of guys called the Griddle Guys, and I mentioned them once before, but they weren't my pick. But they're gonna be my pick.
No, they've made the pick.
It's three local guys, and two of them, I find out after, actually work for the pizza parlor. Same,
really?
Same pizza parlor I work for, but different parlor, though.
Yeah.
And it's just different funny. Location? We were talking back and forth today, and it's just funny. You know, one of them, he's in the front office, you might say. He runs the front.
He works the cash.
He makes the ices. He takes the ices.
Yeah. And it's just so funny. Talk about a small world, but they have like 40,000 or 30,000 followers on YouTube. They get a pretty good following. They do some good stuff. They just cook on a Blackstone griddle, and it's kind of, I was telling you, it reminds a lot of us. They just kind of get together and hang out, drink out of, you know, red Solo cups, and cook on the griddle and have a few laughs and stuff, and they cook some good stuff, and you know, they're doing really good, but they're trying to figure out how to capitalize a little bit on different things. And you know, I told them today, I said, I don't know why you guys aren't selling like merchandise or something, because you got like a faithful following and stuff. But that's it. So go follow the Griddle Guys on Instagram. They're the Real Griddle Guys, because there's some griddle guys
there's
on
some fake
there,
ones out there.
Yep. These
That's
are the
some
real
bullshit.
Ones. Yeah, he said somebody stole that thing. So on YouTube, they're the Griddle Guys, and on Instagram, they're the Real Griddle Guys.
All right.
So go follow them and tell them I sent you.
The Real Thank Griddle you. Guys. What do you got, Paul?
I mean, other than Whistling Diesel.
Whistling Diesel's your pick. That's your boy right there.
Yeah, dude.
He's so funny.
It's actually, like, hurts sometimes to see, like, the stuff he does. Because when it's an old shitty thing, it's, like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then he like just, he's like destroying his new brand new like cat skid steer, like doing something. Did you see when he drove the what the hell is it? What's it called for the ski slopes? What are those things called?
The bombardier.
The groomer?
Groomer, yeah, whatever those are called.
I didn't see that.
Into
a mud pit.
Oh, God.
Like, just
the grandfather's just
buried.
Watching. I just picture the grandfather.
Yeah, who's the grandfather?
You know, we saved every penny to buy this shit for you, and now you're destroying it.
He's like, I plowed those fields for 60 years, and now you're just, you know, just destroying everything.
Yeah,
it's like
that's
what I kind of take when I see that too.
I know, but
it's ridiculous. It's like, dude, come on.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I watched the one where he pulled the semi trailer through the field with the second gen Cummins, and he's just like just ripping through trees and shit. It's hysterical.
Oh, dude, it's insane. Yeah. Like that one was funny.
Yeah,
like it's kind of like it makes sense though, the business model, because as long as he's making more than he destroys.
Yep.
Perfect.
He's
making
some
dough
on those videos, man.
Did you ever see the video? It's an old video. It's like a year or two old, where Casey Neistat's interviewing Mr. Beast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was really interesting.
Yeah.
It was really well done, the interview. But, like, so it's like a year or two old. But he was saying, like, up until a year ago, so now, like, 3 years ago, like, he wasn't making any money.
Yeah,
like I can imagine.
Every dime he had, he gave away. And he goes, it was so crazy how it started. He goes, I was doing this ad for a company, and they offered me $5,000, and I couldn't believe it. And he goes, how about if I take, you give me $10,000, and I give it away? And they thought he was joking. And he walks out to the street to a homeless guy, and he goes, here. He gave him $9,500.
Wow.
I think he said he kept $500 for himself. And that was the one that went viral. And I remember my kid showing me that and being like, hey, this guy gave this guy money. And I'm like, whatever. You know?
Yeah. But it's all a gimmick. He knows the guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but it was legit. He gave him the money. Yeah. But it was funny. He was saying how his mother was saying, you know, you got to do good in school. You're never going to be amount to anything. And he just smiles and he goes, now she works for me. But he was funny, though. He was funny.
That's kind of like the David Dobrik model. And he's in some hot water right about now. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
I saw his, like, boy said some things or something.
Oh, my God. Nope.
You got to be careful.
Say some things.
Oh, no. He got handsy or something?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Not good. Let's not taint our podcast
with this
filth.
But anyway, I mean, David Dobrik used to give away, like, cars to all his friends. Like, every single one of his friends got, like, a nice car. He gave a kid a Lamborghini, Teslas, like, everything. But, like, that's why people – that's not the only reason why, but that's a big part of the reason why people would come back to the video. So that's what – that was the cost of doing business. He had to gave this stuff away to get those crazy views. And it worked out, you know?
Yeah,
until this past week, but
– Well, be careful what you do and be careful who you're friends with.
Yeah.
You know? But my pick of the week is completely unrelated to everything you guys just said. But I watched a really interesting, like, 20-minute long video about this new telescope that NASA made that was $10 billion.
Hold on a second, though. Don't we have, like, homeless people, for Christ's sake? Aren't there, like, kids going hungry? $10 billion? What are we doing? Looking at aliens,
$10 billion.
God, let's fix –
$10 billion. Well, anyway, the $10 billion telescope is pretty cool. And it's
it zooms in pretty good.
It unfolds and it's going to take a month. It's crazy. They fly it into space and then it takes 2 months for it to fully open so that it can get the light that it needs to reflect. I don't know. It's very interesting. Watch the video.
No one I can't stand when they have that shit and they show you the picture and they go, that's not really the picture.
That's a composite.
Digital enhanced one. So you fucking photoshopped the
fucking flat.
It's bullshit.
That's why the flat earthers don't believe anything.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, no, this was the picture right here.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Well, this one I think takes real pictures because, like, this one is like
better.
This one is like
camera. Like the film comes out the side.
This one, I guess, is like exponentially better than the Hubble telescope.
Well, that doesn't say much.
Yeah, but what was so interesting about it was, like, they talk about how they have these lenses, right, that are made out of gold, that they have to be perfectly smooth, but it's so cold in space that they have to freeze them here on Earth and then put ripples in them so that when it gets out to space, the ripples flatten out and it's perfectly flawless. But they can't polish it. They can't just polish it here because the temperature will be so different that they need to compensate for the temperature change in space by putting defects in it on Earth. Ripples, not defects, really, that'll then smooth themselves. It's just a very interesting technology that goes into it. And
that's why
yeah.
we should just mind our own business.
I don't know, dude. I mean, that stuff's amazing, but, you know.
It's just like.
We got a lot of fucking problems
that's
here.
That's what I don't understand about everyone. Elon Musk, he's like, you know, we're going to have to go to Mars because, you know, at one point Earth will be uninhabitable. It's like, listen, dude. Mars, Earth will never be as bad as Mars is right now.
Yo,
you
yeah. know, Mars is
has,
best
we got
day.
No, all they do, all yeah, all they found was some ice, all right? There's no atmosphere. There's nothing. Or at least we have, even if the world gets hit by an asteroid and half of us die, you know, at least there's water, there's plants, there's something. There's an atmosphere. Like, what are we talking
new
about
truck.
Here? What?
We have your new truck.
I have now. A truck yeah. with a 3,500-pound bed on it. I mean,
yeah, you don't have that
don't
on
have
Mars.
Don't have any of that shit in Mars.
Bullshit.
I don't even get it. It's like, I don't know.
You're right.
Why are we talking about Mars?
Next episode
going
is
going
to all be about Mars.
Yeah, dude, I swear to God, if I was the dictator, I would, we would be in good shape.
So I think that next week on the Handmade
yes.
Podcast, we're going to have Paul's political aspirations. That's what we're going to talk about for an hour on the next episode of the Handmade Podcast. Anyway, that's about it for this week. By the way, this coming Friday, I will be featured on Jeff Vader's The Full Blast Podcast. So you should skip that episode and listen the following week, which will be Ben Snur's episode. But I think we have to have Jeff on this podcast because let me tell you,
yeah,
he's got
do.
Some stuff to say.
Oh, boy.
He's got some stuff to say. But, yeah.
Listen, we're just having fun here, all right?
Don't forget to support us on Patreon.
That's what I forgot to say. So we have a Patreon now. Thank you to all the supporters that we have on Patreon. And real quick, I'm just going to go ahead and read the names of all the supporters because there's not that many,
thanks,
but there's
Bob.
Enough. Handmade. Oh, shit. I don't remember.
Oh, come on. Dude.
I don't remember
the
login.
This is like if you have a Bitcoin wallet, you forget
22.
The password.
You're done.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever happened to that guy that lost his
password? 100 million?
Yeah. What happened? Did he end up losing it?
How's that possible?
Did you hear that? There was a guy that was losing it.
No, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only so many times you can enter it.
Yeah.
Too. And he was almost at the limit.
Oh,
I'd be like,
God.
That's fucking bullshit, dude. I want to do all
Yeah, there's got to be a way.
Dude, there's no, but
there's no
governing
there's
body.
No, like,
no.
There's no,
there's,
you know.
There isn't.
What day
the
was your
was
mom born on or what was your first
no,
pet?
No, no, no. It's like a hexadecimal, like, you know.
Yeah, it's
you know.
Not that, yeah.
Does anybody really know who's running this? Like,
no.
Yeah,
what does
nobody.
It mean, like, it's not regulated? Like,
exactly.
I don't
that.
Even
it's
understand this.
Where is... I sent you guys...
This is the Rothschilds doing this.
I sent you guys the name... I sent you guys all the thing.
The info.
All the info for the...
Oh, that's cool.
Patreon. Now I don't remember what it is.
Is it in a text?
I just went through our text. I didn't find it. I couldn't find it. I thought I sent you guys the thing. All right. Well, I can't read the names of our patrons, right, but we have
week.
Some patrons. And next week, we'll be thanking all of our patrons. So if you want to be thanked publicly by Derek and I and Paul in the next week's episode, join the Patreon now. All right?
If you want private consultations with me to discuss investments, that's going to be about $50. I charge $50 for a half-hour session for a face-to-face.
Yeah,
wow.
And then I charge.
Where did you think up that idea? That's a
I don't know,
idea.
Dude. I've been seeing a couple other creators that doing these types of things, and I figured it was a good idea.
Coffee chat.
You know,
yeah.
I know a lot. I am in fact an expert on NFTs and crypto. This is what I love because this is how insane people are. NFTs have been out for about 2.5 weeks. Already, people are calling themselves experts on NFTs. It's like, what are we talking about here? I'm just as much of an expert as all these other people. All right.
Oh, my God. All right. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. All right. You know what? I'm not going to say this week's patrons. Yeah, I got it. But anyway, if you want access to the coveted, highly, highly coveted pre and post show on the Handmade Podcast.
How many do we have?
You can sign up for the pre and the post show.
Yes.
There are. I won't even say how many because I don't want to, like, you know, skew. There are several people that are involved with the pre and the post show, and let me tell you, the juice that they get.
We need to actually do something.
Anyway, the other Patreon that you should look at while I ramble into the night is Derek from Malden.
Oh,
now has a
yeah.
Patreon.
He does.
For those of you that don't know, you can get on there. You can help support our friend Derek from Malden. Lately, he's been trying to raise money for a beard transplant, and we really have to stand behind him and make sure that he gets the beard transplant that he needs.
Hurry up and be the first.
Hurry up and be his first patron. Every first patron that he gets will get something special.
That's right.
My Patreon's launching this. It's dropping this spring.
Yeah, drop it this spring. I also have a Patreon that you could support where I, you know.
Send us all your money.
Just do us a favor.
We'll give you back what we think you deserve.
Exactly, exactly.
My Patreon's dropping, and it's never going to drop, but I'm just going to keep telling you guys it's dropping soon.
Well, you know, speaking of a one and done, I saw Chris Cash while I was away real quick, and I was like, dude, when's your next YouTube video coming out? He goes, I'm just going to delete the channel. He goes,
I had my
good run.
Can you imagine?
So you just get 2 million views on a video and then you just delete the channel because you just could give a
mic
shit.
Drop. Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. We will see you guys next week. Listen to Jeff's episode of the Full Blast Podcast if you want to hear me bullshit about bullshit, and that's it. See you on Patreon.
And join my Patreon if you want to get rich quick.
Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.